Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
I want to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 28. God had said to David that he would establish the kingdom. And in verse 8 he said, "Now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may be possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." And so there's a reminder of the importance of being interested in all that God teaches, concerned about doing the whole will of God. One of the dangers we all face is there are things that we like to do, things that appeal to us, and then we have our weaknesses, and there are things that are not that easy for us to do. And we tend to sort of want to slide around these and excuse ourselves for these. Well, there's a reminder of the importance of trying to do all of it. Then in thinking about the land of Canaan, he said, it was through this means that they would leave that as an inheritance to their children. And so the way that we live will have an impact upon our children. The things that we do affect our children. We don't live alone. We don't live isolated. Paul said, "No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself." Romans chapter 14. What I do will not only affect me, it will affect my family. It will affect others. It will affect the church. And therefore I should be concerned about how I live, how I act, because I'm going to be held accountable for it. But then David was drawing toward the close of his work. Solomon would become king and was to build the temple. And in verse 9, we read that David said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." The idea of knowing God doesn't mean just know about Him. When he said, "Know thou the God of thy father," he's saying, come to understand and appreciate. Having lived an hour of the experience of life, come to understand some things about God. It's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's another thing for one to live, and having lived in the presence of God and with God's help, to know what God means from that standpoint. Come to know God in the sense of living in the service of God, in obedience to the will of God, and learn what God means to you and what God means to life. As I live from day to day, I need to live my life in harmony with the will of God. And in living in harmony with the will of God, come to know more about God. You recall in Genesis 22, God said to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son, and offer him as a sacrifice." Abraham traveled 3 days, knowing that he was going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Came to the place to offer him. God provided a sacrifice, a lamb. Now Abraham will be on his way back home. Do you think that Abraham knew more about God on his way back home than he did on his way to offer that sacrifice? Don't you know that God meant more to him on his way back home than he did before, as much as he meant to him before? Now that's the idea. And that's what David is telling to Solomon. Come to know the God of your father. They lived and they came to know what God meant to them. They knew God from the standpoint of living in service to God through the experiences of life. And that's the way you come to really know God. It's, as I said, it's one thing to read about Him in the Bible. It's another thing to know Him as He sustains and comforts and helps and provides strength. And that can only come as you live and rely upon God and depend upon God and let Him help you. If I live that way with God, God will mean more to me than He's ever meant before. I'll know more about God than I've ever known before. I'll know God in a deeper sense and in a deeper way than I've ever known God before. Have you not gone through trials in life? And they were trials and burdens you couldn't have carried had not God been your helper. You've been able to cast all your care upon Him. And coming out of that trial and that heartache, with God sharing the burden, providing the comfort, giving the strength, didn't you know more about God than you knew before? And so that's what that is suggested in there. And so He said, "Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him." And therefore, we're not only to know God in order that God may bless us, but in order that we might serve Him. And David is telling Solomon, serve Him. Use your abilities and your talents and your whole being in order to serve God. Let your life count for God. Make that the aim and the purpose of your life. Let God use you. So many times when we think about religion, we think about it from the standpoint of what we can get out of it, what it provides for us. And we forget about what we can do for God and how we are to let God use us. How much in the past year have we failed to let God use us? God does not have any eyes in this world to see the needs and the opportunities around about us. He has to use my eyes and your eyes. God doesn't have any hands to serve wherever there may need to be service today. He has to use my hands. He doesn't have any shoulders to carry the loads and the burdens of those that are in the world. Do you not recall in Matthew 25, Jesus said, "I was hungry, and you gave me meat. But Lord, you're not on earth. You're talking about the judgment now. You're not talking about the 30 years that you spent on earth. You're talking about the time from your ascension back until your return. Now men are standing in the judgment. You say you were hungry? How was He hungry? He was hungry when there were others that were hungry. Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." You remember when in Acts 8, when Paul was persecuting the church, Jesus said, "Why persecutest thou me? But Lord, you're not on earth. You're already away from all of these." Yes. But what Paul was doing to God's people, he is doing to the Lord. That shows the identity and the relationship between Christ and His people. And therefore, we are to serve. And that's what David is telling Solomon. He'll be king. Here are God's people. Now you serve God in being the kind of king that God wants you to be, so that these people will be blessed by God through you. And that's what He's saying to us today. God expects us to serve Him so that others will be blessed through us. And we need to think about that as we enter into the new year. But in order for us to serve Him, He said, serve Him with a perfect heart. When we think about the word perfect, we usually think about sinlessness. That's not the way the Bible uses it. The word perfect in the Bible, when used in reference to man, is never a reference to sinlessness. It always has another idea. The word perfect in the Bible has to do with wholeness, completeness. And in this sense, it carried with the idea of undivided loyalty, undivided devotion. Serve Him with a united heart, with a whole heart. Don't let your service be divided. Let your loyalties be total and complete. You remember James said that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8. The word there literally means two-souled. How can a man be two-souled? Well, his loyalties are divided. There were some people after the Syrians overran the northern kingdom. They repopulated that land, and the lions began to overrun them. They had a pagan idea about God, and they said, "We're in trouble. We're over here in this geographical location, and that God is not being served right, and we're in trouble." And so they sent some priests over there to help them. But they served God, feared God, and served their own idols. So we're told. They had divided loyalty. And that's what idolatry did. If a man had 10 gods, he had to divide his loyalty between 10 gods. In Mark 12, when the scribe said, "Which is the great commandment?" Jesus said, "This is the first of all commandments. Hear, O Israel, that the Lord thy God is one." And therefore, one God opened the door for undivided loyalties. And so as I serve God in the coming year, I must have one God, and to have one God demands undivided loyalty, a perfect heart, an undivided heart, a whole heart, complete, without any division. Is that the way I'll serve God now throughout the coming year? To know God is then to serve Him, and then to serve Him with wholehearted. You know, we talk about, have you ever done anything and haven't had your heart in it? Have you ever had a child and assigned them a job to do, and you can just see they just drag their feet? The only reason they're doing it is because they've got to. They know they're going to be punished if they don't do it. We don't like that, do we? Why should we think that God appreciates what we do when we do it with that kind of heart, just dragging around saying, "Well, I've just got to do this. If I didn't have to do it, I wouldn't." And we don't put our hearts in it. Have we served God like that this past year? How will we serve Him in this coming year? Will we serve Him with undivided loyalty, wholehearted? That's what David said to Solomon, this is the kind of service that God wants. But then again, note he said, and with a willing mind. Now here you have the real spiritual characteristics that belong to the Jewish system. He was first to know God. And that could only come through the revelation of God, and then serve Him with undivided loyalty, and then with a willing mind. Not under pressure, but willingly. You know, when Jesus gave the model prayer in Matthew 6, He said, among other things, were to say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In John 7, Jesus said, "He that willeth to do His will shall know the doctrine." John 7:17. And therefore we are to serve with a willing mind. Go back. When they were building the tabernacle, you remember that Moses going into the mountain? They had built a golden calf. Moses came down, broke the tablets of stone because the law had been broken, a symbol of the broken law. God was going to destroy him. Moses prayed for him. Exodus 33 and 34, that they might be pardoned. God forgave them. And then the following chapters tell about their contribution for the tabernacle. And the record says that they gave so much until Moses said, "Stop. We have more than we need." What happened? After God had blessed them and not destroying them and had pardoned them, out of gratitude and a willing mind, and that's the language that's used in reference to that back in the book of Exodus, that with a willing mind, they began to give of what they had, the precious things, the gold, the silver, and whatever it was, until finally there was an overflowing of it. And that's the kind of service that God wants us to give to Him. In fact, that's the only kind of service that is acceptable to Him. Is that the way that I'll serve Him now in the coming year? But what about the blessings that come from that? Drop down to verse 20 now. And David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage." The principles that I have just mentioned bring about strength and provide courage. And do it. But now look. Fear not. Be not dismayed. As you think about the coming year, does fear grip your heart? Terrorists everywhere. We don't know what's going to happen. What are the advantages of doing just what I've got through reading in verse 9? It's described there. Now, here are the blessings that come from it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. So I don't know what this year is going to bring, but if I have that promise from God, I have reason to fear not and to be not dismayed. But not only that, listen to the rest of the verse. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What a promise. That's what you can tie your life to. There's security. There's reliability. That's the best security that one can have in all of this world. To have God's commitment that He will not fail nor forsake. You know, sometimes we have people that will stand by us and we find ourselves in a difficult situation, and the first thing you know, they turn away from us. They forsake us, and we're left alone. God's not like that. He said that He'll not fail. And David is telling Solomon, when you get on that throne, you're going to have some problems. Life's not going to be easy. But just remember that He'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Conditionally. Look at the rest of the verse. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord thy God. So He said He'll enable you to do what you need to do. This can be accomplished, provided you allow the principle in verse 9 to apply to your life. Now, I didn't read all of verse 9. I'm going back and read it now. Look at it. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, serving with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Now listen. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. Searches all hearts. He did last year and He will this year. And therefore He's going to know whether or not I serve Him with a willing mind and an undivided heart. But that's not all. Look at the rest of it. And understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. He knows what I think. Even the imaginations. You ever read Genesis 6? Where it says of the wicked world of Noah's day, that every thought and every imagination of their heart was evil continually. Genesis 6. Do you ever draw pictures with your imagination? What kind of pictures are they? Do you talk to yourself sometime and paint pictures and say, well, here's what I do and here's what I do, and you draw a picture of it and paint it on the canvas of the mind? David reminded Solomon, when you're drawing those pictures, don't forget, God knows what you're drawing there. He sees that picture. He understands it. And He searches the heart. And these are going to have an effect in our life. They have something to do with the way that we live. And therefore, David's exhortation and advice to Solomon is timely for us. We're going to be building our own tabernacle, our own temple in the coming year, building our own life. And the way for us to build it is to know God, to live hand in hand with Him, to serve Him with undivided loyalty and with a willing mind, remembering all the way that God searches the heart, knows the imagination. And doing that, to live in the faith that God said, I'll never fail thee nor forsake thee. And I'll help you finish the work. Then with the admonition that David gave to Solomon, if we'll apply that to our lives, if God lets us live throughout this year, our lives will be richer and better. We'll be stronger. And we'll come to know things about life that we'll never know otherwise. The experiences of our life will be richer, whether there be trials and heartaches or whatever they may be. Our lives will be richer and better because of having God in our life and having served Him. Solomon didn't listen to the advice that David gave. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us how he tried to live. Till he got down to the 12th chapter and he said, this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep His commandments. I hope when you go home, you'll read these verses and paint them indelibly upon your heart. And then try to live and follow the principles in them.